gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm ready. Don't. Oh, look. All right. Mama's just arrived.
What's going
Nobody
on here?
Relax. I ought to relax. Hello. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is it?
Just barely.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I was freebasing my dogs because they just got groomed yesterday. That's why I'm late. You know, that freshly groomed smell.
Oh. I thought you were grinding them up and smoking them.
Gather up.
Okay.
So I'm going to use that as my excuse. Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Off to South Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, Saturday. Yay for the Sexy Liberal big year-end bash. Cliff in Miami writes, Steph, looking forward to seeing you, Hal and John, this Saturday. South Florida has consistently voted Democratic in every presidential election since 1992. Why is it there's no progressive radio on the air in South Florida?
Seems
crazy.
Like a bad business decision.
It's such a mystery. Yes, particularly since the show sold out. I don't know how long ago. There's only, you know, a few little single seats. Oh, I know. We used to have a station in Miami where we did very, very well, and now it's a sports station that has a zero. Listen,
it's
not
like one of five sports stations
or
something.
Not anything that sticks in my craw.
No. Republicans don't believe in capitalism, clearly.
Why are they such socialists? I don't get it. Okay. He started the South Florida Sexy Liberal Facebook page to get progressive radio back on
the
air.
It worked.
In Florida.
Oh.
Huh?
No, I thought you were talking about he started the Get the Sexy Liberal Show to South Florida Facebook page.
Yes. No.
No.
The progressive radio back on the air in South
that
Florida.
That hasn't worked yet.
No, but we'll get working, Cliff.
Yes.
Why are you emailing me? Get the chop chop. Get Mama Station.
Quit dilly-dallying.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of which, we have yet another Sexy Liberal record. Yesterday, the highest one-day sales ever in Los Angeles for the... We just announced the L.A. show, which is not till July 28th. And... The box office exploded yesterday.
Did it really?
In Los Angeles, yes. So I would hurry and get those tickets for the Pantages July 28th. Because All right. You know what? Let's. I was going to promo the Philly show, but you know what? Let's go to Carl first because he's waiting patiently, like a good little pumpkin.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. Isn't it fun when I don't know what's on my own show?
Yeah.
Hi, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Your good little pumpkin is here and ready to go.
Yay!
Oh, precious. Love you so much. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? No! Prostitute so-sucker Dick Morris. By the way, there was just a thing, Carl, yesterday. Oh, he is literally the worst political prognosticator ever. Even worse than Bill Kristol.
Yeah.
Consistently wrong.
Well, I actually think that Herman Cain is going to turn this thing around. So,
and this race still might be Condi versus Hillary.
Yeah.
I have suspended the suspension of my campaign.
There you go. All right, here we go.
Awful. I mean, it sets up this incredible theory of collectivism in the United States, of opposing individual initiative, opposing entrepreneurial spirit, opposing what he calls rugged individualism. And it is true that tax cuts on their own don't trickle down. You need to irrigate them like we did in the Clinton administration. That has encouraged them to go down. But still, to have this collectivist European socialist philosophy articulated by a president
like
is
Roosevelt.
Stunning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like
big Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. Sure.
Republican president ever.
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, Carl, that's a good idea. Let's go back to the Clinton tax rates. That's a good idea, Dick.
I think that's an excellent idea, although that's not what he said. The weird thing about irrigation is that it doesn't make things go down, by the way. Irrigation makes things grow and makes them go up.
Yeah.
Which is just more money for the super wealthy, I guess. But, I just have trouble listening to him. I keep on waiting for him to grab his asthma inhaler.
Yeah.
Exactly. Greg Gutfield on the 5 on the president's speech as well.
What do you get when you cross Teddy Roosevelt with Abe Lincoln with FDR and JFK? You get Jimmy Carter. All right, I want to make a point about the speech, not about these comparisons that Obama keeps making to other presidents, hence the joke. You know how an Eskimo has 1,000 words for snow? President Obama has 1,000 words for class warfare. You've got fair share, fair shot, balanced approach, equal opportunity. That was a 56-minute sugar-coated speech on class warfare.
Is he writing for Dennis Miller? Because that's hilarious.
Yeah, Carl. That's one thing you'll never hear at a sexy liberal show, someone having to go, that was the joke. See, it's they should generally be self-evident when you're doing them even vaguely correctly.
Well, joke is the five. I mean, in a couple months, they're going to have 1,000 words for canceled.
See, that's a joke.
Yes, hiatus. Now, see, there's a joke. That's the difference. That's a sexy liberal joke. Hiatus. There's a lot of words. Suspension.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Neil Bortz on the Fox Business Channel.
This guy we have in the Oval Office right now does not have one single accomplishment he can run on. This country hates Obamacare. He can't run on that. He doesn't have these marvelous foreign policy successes that he can run on.
What?
All he can do is demonize the opposition and play class warfare.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Wow.
In fairness to Neil Bortz, he stopped reading the paper, watching the news, and listening to NPR 35 years ago. He's not aware of anything that Obama's actually done. And he only did that because, you know, the shadow of Rush Limbaugh was cutting off the signal to his television and the radio.
Wow. Even most conservatives have to admit he's had a string of foreign policy successes, but they're trying to say that's not important because the economy's...
killing Bin Laden?
No.
No, that doesn't count
that
as a foreign policy.
George Bush's
victory. Bush had done it. Well,
that was George Bush's victory.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, George Bush was one of the Navy SEALs.
Yes,
so.
that's what I'm told. He just stayed in that same flight suit. That's what he was wearing.
You know what? I'll bet you that if you poll any Fox News viewers, some will actually believe
that. Yes,
right.
Yes, George Bush, personally.
At least Neil Bortz is very articulate when he's being wrong about everything.
Well, when he gets down off that piece of wood and stops singing, Billy Bass. Yeah, he looks like that. Sing, take me down to the river. Okay. Listen, I've talked to him in person many times, as you know.
I think
we're syndicated by the same company.
You've traveled internationally with him.
Listen, I thought he was going to swallow me whole like a school of plankton. It's terrifying talking to him up close. Okay.
You're so mean.
I'm so scared.
Well, he has baleen instead of teeth. No wonder he's so articulate. He's working hard to pronounce things.
Stuart Varney on Hannity Radio.
We can ignore the terrorist connections of Obama before he was elected.
What?
We can ignore the Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Oh,
you are the only guy in town pointing out the connections that Senator Obama had, and the country chose to ignore that.
Sinister connection.
Terrorist connection.
Terrorist connection.
And as an American, I'm appalled at the terrorist connections. That
Well, in fairness, he's right. Nobody talked about Jeremiah Wright. Nobody talked about it just once, really.
People
talked about it dozens of times.
I didn't hear anyone mention it.
I think it's just the accent that Stuart Varney had trouble with. he didn't understand it when people were talking about those things.
All right, Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter.
You know, what's so bad about Trump moderating a debate? It's like hysteria has set in once again in the media.
No, it's really strange. I mean, particularly because Trump is a lot more serious compared to, say, Chris Matthews, whom you just played. I think Trump is a more serious moderator than Brian Williams, asking if Governor Barry can sleep at night with all of the executions going on.
Remember that?
And Wolf Blitzer asking about the hypothetical man and the hypothetical
Now, I've got to be fair.
Really?
Executions.
When is that going to start?
It makes them all warm and chuckly, executions.
That's unnecessary killing of innocent people. It's hilarious.
I will say I was looking forward to the various challenges that Donald Trump would make them during the course of the debate.
Yeah.
You know, building their own taco stand from scratch and then trying to sell it to people without bringing up the issue of immigration.
Build a replica of the border fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All while trying to beat NeNe Leakes. I mean.
Oh yeah, you got to beat NeNe Leakes.
All right, Brian Kilmeade. Oh, God, do we have... It's a light, fluffy dessert of stupid.
Oh, yeah.
It's a stupid souffle. Enjoy your dessert souffle, Carl Frisch. It's Brian Kilmeade and Victoria Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Who's your candidate?
Michelle Bachmann.
Why?
Because she doesn't flip-flop. She has core principles that are conservative. She never wavers. She doesn't change her mind to try to get votes. She believes in the Bible. She believes in America. Less government. No Obamacare. Kill Obamacare. Jobs. Drill for oil here. She's my girl. And Rick Santorum. Love him.
Wow.
That was a whole lot of right-wing Tourette's right there.
Yeah, that was like every single talking point ever invented in the last 20 years.
Jim was, by the way, doing in the background, that was like the female most annoying sound in the world. Yeah. It's the female version.
You know, the thing about Victoria Jackson, I have a feeling we're going to find out that she's pulling the longest-running Andy Kaufman
I think so.
Joke. By the way, at the holiday season, I should say something. I did enjoy her as the small child, the annoying child in It's a Wonderful Life. I really did.
Every time I go,
we hope you enjoyed that, Carl Frisch. It was a little symphony.
I just love her new show. You know, with the five women. In
oh, yeah. That five, the View knockoff.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that was
Obstructed View.
That was our little symphony, Carl Frisch, to play you out. See, I know what play you out means. And we do this live, by the way.
Do it live.
Yeah.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Thank you, Carl.
Things suck.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye,
thanks, Carl.
See, he said the obstructed view. That's another joke. Republican.
It's our new. It's not, you know, it's no Laura Ingraham orgasm, but it's our new, you know, right-wing symphony.
Near the right. Near the right.
Do it.
Pull my hair. I don't like it when you sit on my hair.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And the Victoria Jackson Symphony.
She is Pebbles. Okay. Oh, my God. She's like a right-wing Pebbles.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Wow, we're off to an incomprehensible start.
I know.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by... Oh, Carbonite, pardon me. Yes, I can't risk losing my important computer files. Neither can you. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up your computer files whenever you are connected to the Internet. Couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com now. Do it now.
No.
Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. Oh, one quick thing. I have Carbonite, and after a virus attack recently, I used it, so there.
Whoa!
Hello, thank you for that unsolicited testimonial, yes. Dave.
But, yeah, the other thing I was going to say is it me, or do a lot of these failed stars decide to become conservative Republicans when they realize thinking people don't think they're funny? So we got, like, the Dennis Millers and the Victoria Jacksons. It's like, wait, those people have brain cells. They don't think I'm funny. I best just, you know, go with someone who doesn't, you know, exercise that brain and get so tired.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. You can't tell if it's shtick or whether they really believe that, or they just think, oh, this is my next shtick,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, do they think, I mean, does Victoria Jackson think that that voice is actually attractive? I mean, I was just in the Eastern chat room, and I said, my dog started howling and then tried to commit suicide listening to it. The ears couldn't take it.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Dave. Otto in Lubbock, Texas, with Mike and Raleigh can kiss my big white hairy ass, part due.
Part due?
Yeah. Steph and the Mooktones. Imagine my surprise listening to the podcast in this very red town in a very red state and finding that Mike and Raleigh wrote The Night I Groped Some Chicks in Town for Herman Cain. That was a good one.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Mike and Raleigh's birthday today.
What? It is not.
It's birthday.
Happy birthday.
You see, I'd written my own song for Herman using that melody before the advent of the lying bitches. Mr. Sound Producer for Free comes out with not only the Chipmunks song that's driving me insane, now I can't do my song because it'll seem like I'm stealing his song. I'm losing it. Klingon bastard, you killed my son. See, now I'm telling James T. Kirk. Ugh, this won't end well. Otto and Lubbock, apparently, combative with Mike and Raleigh.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh, sorry to tell you, Otto, he's got another one.
We wish you a merry new. We wish you a
nominator. We wish you would nominate Newt, so we'll have a good year. A string of ex-wives wherever he goes. We wish you would nominate Newt, so we'll have a good year. Oh, Frothy Santorum had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye to Colby, and I'll try to be president someday.
There's a children's special. Yeah. Frothy the Santorum. Oh, God. Oh, I have to recover from that one.
Yeah, that was good.
Mike, you need to give me a heads up from now on. All right. Speaking of having to recover from men, sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us live from New York now. Good morning, sexy liberal John.
Good morning. Wasn't it sad when Frothy Santora melted? Oh, that was
sad. Yeah, that was so sad.
Wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No, that made all the kids cry.
There wasn't a dry something in the house.
John Fugelsang, by the way, congratulations on being nominated as Pollstar Best Tour of the Year.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie Miller. Congratulations back at you.
And we made it, and this is hard to do, sexy liberaldom, we hit a one-day sales record in Los Angeles yesterday. It looks like for July we're going to be sold out shortly. So
7 months away, yes. Yeah. This is why we're thanking your fans, the sexiest, coolest, smartest, most sexually attractive fans in the radio.
It's the Blue Net Comedy Tour. Thank you. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Now, John Fugelsang, like, what are you speaking of sexy liberal causes, where are you this morning?
Stephanie, this morning I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Liz Claiborne here in Times Square. This has nothing to do with my cross-dressing habit, although that's still very healthy, and you can see that on the fetish site.
You look better
this
in
morning,
Karen.
I'm here. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It's a break from a dress barn where I normally attend. I'm here at Liz Claiborne for It's Time to Talk Day. This is something that happens every year. It's part of Break the Cycle and the National Dating Abuse Helpline. Altogether, they do It's Time to Talk Day, which is a day dedicated to ensuring that Americans speak up about subjects a lot of people don't want to talk about: domestic violence, teen dating violence, sexual assault, and intimate partner abuse. And so what this event is radio hosts from around the country are all gathered here at Liz Claiborne at different tables, and I'm looking at Ellen Ratner and Mark Riley, and I don't think Neil Bortz is here today.
Darn.
I haven't smelt the sulfur, but people all come together, and all the radio shows broadcast from here for one purpose: to get people talking about violence against women and violence against men too. It's a very, very important cause. I think when you consider that Chris Brown's biggest fan base continues to be adolescent girls who don't really mind that he choked and beat the crap out of a young woman.
Yep.
I think that anything we can do to raise awareness that women and men don't have to put up with any kind of abuse, be it physical, emotional, or mental.
Yep.
So I'm very proud to drag this whole proceedings down to my level.
Did you exactly? Did you? I know. What story was it I read recently where Chris Brown was getting annoyed at everybody? Like, that was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it was in the past.
That's the same excuse that Newt Gingrich is using now. It doesn't matter what I've done before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm saying right now and ignore my horrible record. And you make a Chris Brown joke on Twitter and you'll have a ton of teenage girls saying, "Oh, y'all got to stop that. That's in the past." And it's, sure it's in the past.
And it might be in the future, too.
It is in the present, and it's in the future as well. I mean, I personally think that Chris Brown deserves to be passed around a cell like a blunt at the Source Awards. And,
John Louise.
Sorry, but this is the way it is. I mean, well, just for the lip-syncing and auto-tune alone. But the fact is that just kids. They were just kids and in love, and these things happen. These things don't have to happen, and it's not going to happen until men learn it's not acceptable.
Yeah. Right, and you make a good point that's where it starts, is empowering young girls like that to not think they ever have to put up with this ever, whether it's economically empowering them or, just personally, to the extent where they don't feel like they need a man to or have to put up with that.
Well, exactly right. And, I come from a family where domestic abuse happened on both sides of my family. My grandmother was so abused, she had to run away from home.
Oh,
so we're talking
God.
To law enforcement, editors of 17 Magazine, all kinds of people doing the Lord's work today.
All right, and we'll be checking back in with you for the rest of the morning. And I will see you in Fort Lauderdale for Sexy Liberal on Friday, or Saturday.
I can't wait.
All right,
I'll talk to you next hour.
All right, honey. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A bit lewd.
Well,
Stephanie Miller
was a well-known sexual deviant.
Mm-hmm. It is the only if you're doing it right. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We'll be checking back in with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang after the top of the hour in New York. Speaking of sexy liberals, Helen in Fairfax, Virginia, writes, Steph, sexy liberal in Philly. I went ahead and this is, you know what? This is, can I have some magical Christmas music? This is a magical, sexy liberal, gift of the Magi kind of story.
Magi.
Don't disparage me.
Hey, you got it right.
I went ahead. Oh, damn it. That was an accident. I went ahead and where's my magical?
You didn't plan this out. So.
Fine. Like anything on this show is. I went ahead and purchased 2 tickets for my husband and me. The tickets will be my husband's Christmas present to me, and we'll stay overnight in Philly on Saturday, which will be his birthday present to me. I got 2 tickets to the VIP section. That's a gift to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we plan to attend the meet and grow. I quote you, Hal, John, and the Mooks incessantly. It'll be great for my husband to hear words from the horse's mouth. Oh, can't wait for February. Thank you. All right. Yeah. By the way, tickets going fast in Philly already. For
Philadelphia,
yes.
We progressives hold these truths to be self-evident. That all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
999.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
And for Paul Revere was ringing the bells and shooting the guns, sir. Don't tell the British to worry
about the Normandy invasion that freed Mandela.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, let's return to Bender, Juan.
Return
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Oh, David Bender, I so cherish these last few segments with me before you're found face down in my swimming pool after we complete my book.
I am already face down in your swimming pool. This is me gurgling.
I'm feeling,
have you been sniffing the dogs again?
Yes, I have been snorting the snowdrifts that are my Great Pyrenees.
You know, that is dangerous. There are programs for this. You understand that, right?
I seriously, the day they get groomed, I literally in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, I'm just on the living room floor. Oh, you're so sorry.
I have an image of this. As a matter of fact, I have photos of this, and I will sell them at the next Sexy Liberal Show. Okay, congratulations, the Polestar Awards. How about that?
Well, the problem with that is that Lady Gaga, a hero of mine, but she must go down now since I am I'm competing with her for best tour.
With Lady Gaga. Okay, so let me just suggest a meat suit. And the dogs will love it. Dress up in meat. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, if you really want to be sexy, it's like lamb chops instead of bread.
That may not end well for me. However, David Bender, let's talk politics.
Must we talk about Newt Gingrich?
Did you think in your long career as a campaign consultant to Rutherford B. Hayes that you would ever see the day that Newt Gingrich is the front runner in the...
Sure. Because every dog, pardon the segue, has his day, and this is Newt's. Here's what's going to happen, okay? This is not brain surgery. We saw yesterday Romney surrogates are starting to come out and use the huge, and wait a minute, do we have the word for that?
Huge.
Amount of huge opposition research that exists on Newt Gingrich, and in fact, you and I can get it. Chris, you probably have it all there. It's everything Newt has said going back to the invention of videotape.
Yeah. By the way, Hal Sparks was saying yesterday, we thought we'd have to write all new sexy liberal material for the 2012. We're like, we can just brush off our own Newt Gingrich jokes now. blow the dust off.
They never get tired, even if he does. And here's the truth. Here's what's going on right now. They're going to say that Newt is irrational. That's what John Sununu, who is one of Romney's key surrogates, came out and said yesterday. This man is irrational. He will say anything that comes into his head. Now, the truth is, Newt has tremendous ideas. I mean, but
they're all bad.
Yes,
they're all bad.
Tremendously bad.
He has idea after idea after idea, and there is no sort of mechanism for him to not share these ideas. So he's actually said if he's president, he's going to teach a college class as president. He's going to do it online. You know, and of course people have to pay for credit. That's
of course,
the way this will work.
Yeah, of course. We'd hate to have him stop his scamming to be president.
Right, exactly. It'll be new ink in the White House. But here's what we know is they're going to start using these things, and one of the first ones they're trotting out, and this is the fun part, is you remember back how many months ago was it when Eddie Munster issued his How to Kill Medicare plan, and Newt went after him. You remember that?
Right.
Newt said, you know, this is Republican heresy, that this is a bad idea, luckily because it wasn't Newt's idea. And this is what they're going to start using. They're going to say Newt is not a good Republican. He's a guy who worked with Bill Clinton. They have a picture of him shaking hands with Bill Clinton.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the kind of stuff that, frankly, is going to be damned effective when they trot it out. Now, the problem is they're running out of time. He's ahead in Iowa, probably enough to win the Iowa caucuses. Mm-hmm. So this is now going to – what's interesting is it's going to come down to New Hampshire. New Hampshire has been a runaway. It's been a walk for Mitt Romney. He's been up by 30 points for 6 months. And now it's getting close in New Hampshire. If Newt were to win New Hampshire, this thing could be over. It's totally possible. And the problem is
at
the time, that's 5 weeks from right now.
Well, you know, Gawker has a great piece, Rich Republicans Still Trying to Field a Half-Decent Presidential Candidate.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that this late? That they there are some efforts that they're scrambling to go, is there anybody?
I'm waiting for David Koch to get in.
Right.
Because why not?
I mean,
he ran as a libertarian once for vice president. Why not just, you know, you're spending all this money. He spent all this money on Herman Cain.
Yeah, he's used to being the puppet master. Now he's just going to shove him out of the way. Like, all right, you idiots, get out of the way. You're morons. I'll do it myself.
Herman, if you can't do it, why don't I? I mean, you know, it is still possible, and we may still see Donald Trump get in as an independent. This is what could be interesting.
I love these are in the Gawker piece, David. These are the new ideas. The chatter about potential new entrants include Rudy Giuliani, Mitch Daniels, Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, and Jim DeMint. I'm like, oh, those are fresh new ideas.
Those are new ideas.
Yeah.
Yes, those are big. Those are new ideas. They're terrible ideas. Where there is still room to move here is that if Newt is nominated, or any, frankly, any Republican, and the president. It depends on where we are with the economy a year from now. I've said this for 2 years, that if the economy shows the signs of recovery, it's starting to show now, then this president can and will be reelected. If the economy is terrible, if it takes another hit, which, as we know, the Republicans are trying to make happen, this is their plan.
Yeah.
They want to go down. This is why they're opposing every initiative from this president to help fix the economy. If it goes down, then an independent candidate, someone running in the middle saying, I'm not either of these parties. And that's where the country is. The country is neither Republican or Democrat right now. The country hates the two-party system. And that's where the potential is. If there were a credible third way, I don't think there is, but if there were, that would be the
viable option. Are you saying that Donald Trump's not credible as an independent candidate?
I'm credible.
Trump is not credible as the host of a reality show.
Let's talk about the desperation ads, which I love. First of all, there's Mitt Romney's look at my shiny marriage. Look at it.
Yeah.
That's nicely done. He's not attacking Newt Gingrich directly, just saying, look at my shiny marriage. And as compared to
everyone else. This is the sort of thing that you're going to see done subtly, but really what needs to happen right now, frankly, is these overt attacks. They're going to have to go after Newt full throttle, and Mitt has finally come out from behind his curtain. You know, he's appearing up, he's giving press availabilities, he's stopping the Rose Garden strategy, and it's never good to run from the Rose Garden when you're not president.
Yes, that's a little delusional, in fact. By the way, and how about Rick Perry? How sad is that? He's like, how about the gay bashing? That worked in the last election. Really? He's running against the gays.
He's running against the gays.
Yes.
And there is a war on Christmas.
Yes. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
His new ad said there's something wrong in this country when gays can openly in the military and our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas. What?
Yeah, no. It is delusional, but you should be pleased to learn. I think this may have been a release from the Rick Perry campaign. He's off his medication. He said, my back is fine. I'm no longer taking meds. And he said to the press, cleverly for Rick Perry, you guys are a bigger pain now than my back.
Yeah. Republican humor. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. That's all he has now. I'm not Rick Perry. I'm not hopped up on goofers anymore.
Yeah. It fits on a bumper sticker.
Yeah. I swear to God, you still see some of that tape of that speech, and you're just like,
leave a footprint more fair than 9%.
That's hilarious. All right. Well,
you know what's going to be fun? It's going to be fun doing this together. The morning after the Iowa caucus.
Yes.
That's going to be
yes.
fun. So let's look ahead to that. That's a late Christmas present, but we'll keep it wrapped until then.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Love you.
I love you, Bendy. There
Yay,
he goes, our
Bendy.
45 minutes out.
Actually, if you want to go to letmegooglethatforyou.com, do a simple search for Newt Gingrich. You'll find all kinds of dirt on the Newtster.
Heavens. Yep. Yeah, anybody can do it. You don't even have to be a fancy consultant. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 15 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow's show will be hosted by voice deity Jim Ward and
what?
Chris LaVoy.
What?
Huh?
Hey!
I will be on my way to Florida for the Sexy Liberal Show. John Fugelsang will be joining you, as usual, for Fridays with Fugelsang from New York.
Yeah, so, you got 3 hours of Jim and me.
I'm going to listen to that on the way to the airport.
What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can watch TV. You can Obama bash for 3 hours.
Yeah, we'll watch cartoons for 3 hours. That'll be fun.
God, it's going to be all smell like boy when I get back Monday. Yeah. What is that smell?
It's testosterone.
Okay.
We're going to drink and have fights and just do boy things.
Oh, God, there's going to be condoms on the ceiling.
Fight club. We're going to have a fight club
just
in here.
Just smell like beer. It'll be blood on the walls.
Yeah.
What did you guys do? Did you get an actual political fight?
Let's get Handel in here and we'll see what he learned in karate class.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim was Googling Newt.
Frankly.
Yeah, and frankly, his lesbian
his
sister?
Lesbian half-sister, Candace, is going to be voting for Obama.
Ah. Well, if she's going to vote for Rick Perry, then you know things are bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awkward Gingrich holiday.
Check out the Atlantic Wire, the politics section, a quarter century of Gingrich dirt.
Maybe Mary Cheney would probably vote for Rick Perry.
Here's one of the things that just kills me. It's so enjoyable. As you know, behind closed doors, a lot of Republicans just a brick that Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Because they know. Even Republicans hate him. I mean, he's a weed. Everyone knows that. He is a well-known stick from years and years in Hollywood. Representative Peter King called him too erratic. He's too self-centered. Republican of New York, Peter King's said Newt Gingrich is a self-centered egomaniac who will cause more problems than he'll solve if he's elected president. King pulled no punches, saying that Gingrich does not have the capacity to control himself. And that's a well-known Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of ego, Jim, did you see this? What is he taking credit for? Let's review. He brought the fall of communism, hit Newt.
Sure he did.
He developed supply-side economics that helped Mitt Romney get rich.
Mm-hmm. Right. He invented the radio.
Apparently. Oh, yes. Hello. Move over, Marconi.
Yeah.
He is really... he said, I was part of Jack Kemp's little cabal of supply-siders who largely... by helping convince Reagan, and then working with Reagan, profoundly changed the entire trajectory of the American economy.
Yeah,
in the
really
1980s. Yeah, I was going to say, yes, still trickling on us. Thanks, Newt. You could make the argument, I helped Mitt Romney get rich, because, oh boy. Here we go again. Team Gingrich said the comments were an attempt at humor.
Mm-hmm. Once again, right-wingers in humor.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
They have to, well, if you have to identify it, you're like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like that big joke when he blamed the murder of those two kids in South Carolina.
It reminds me, every American, how sick society is getting, how much we need to change things. The only way you get change is more Republican friendly.
He's trying to blame Susan Smith, I think. Was it?
Yes.
Drowned her kids in the lake. Blame it on hippies.
Liberals.
And 60s counterculture.
Yeah.
When in fact her father was an extreme right-wing Christian who apparently abused her as a child. Anyway.
Yeah.
The liberals, frankly.
What's a richer... source of comedy than dead children. That's, right away you're starting with a good premise. Nicely done.
And that's how you started every show at Yuck Yucks.
Oh, sure.
It?
Yeah. Well, that's what, okay.
We'll never have as much money as Mitt Romney, but I think we'll have enough money. We'll have a sufficiency to be very, very competitive.
We'll see. As David Bender just said, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know what could happen. You never know in this race, but it looks like he's going to take Iowa at least, and that's the first one up. It's stunning. Newt Gingrich on the president.
If they would rather have me chase him all the way to Election Day and have a country watch a man afraid to defend his own record, I think that will work equally well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay.
Good luck with that.
There's one analysis here. What's behind the Gingrich surge? For one thing, Gingrich is smart. So is Romney. I have to say, that probably is part of it. The rest of the field is so dumbest stumps in history in a campaign. What they're saying Republicans can imagine either of them debating Obama without embarrassment. A debate between Obama and Perry or Bachman would be cringe-inducing, and that's true.
That is true. I think
they know they're not going to win at this point. They're just thinking, what would be the least... cringe-inducing.
Newt might be able to keep up with Obama, but I still think Obama would clean his clock.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I could totally see him, doing better than Bachman would.
Really bad ideas, really well articulated.
Oh, my God. Jim, don't you think it would be a replay in some ways of, the Nixon-Kennedy debate, though? Because people actually really like Obama. He's charming, he's good-looking, he's
Got charisma.
Newt is just sweaty and mean.
Looks like he should be living under a bridge.
Yes, yeah. He looks sweaty and mean. I think it would be awesome, that debate. they were talking about how, his ego, and I guess Tea Party supporters call it self-confidence, but the whole I defeated communism, blah, blah. As for people he disagrees with, they're not just wrong, they're stupid, grotesque, and disgusting.
Yeah.
These are former, words that Newt has used.
Actually, think about it. Gingrich should be on the side of a cathedral vomiting rain.
Oh, my God.
You probably saw some of those in France.
Most people see it as arrogance.
That's Newt Gingrich up there.
Hey, the Tea Party sees it as heroic defiance. Gingrich believes that as president, he could subdue Congress. He said we could begin to break up the gridlock very rapidly if I were president.
Gridlock.
Truth is, Gingrich is the man who created gridlock. He got to Congress in 78, I think Barney Frank explained. We Republicans are not going to be able to take over unless we demonize the Democrats, even to the point of shutting down the federal government twice. This is where this started, with Newt Gingrich. Tea Party activists do not believe in compromise, which is the only way Washington works. They regard compromise as selling out. The Tea Party feasts on gridlock. That's why Gingrich is their hero. So what if gridlock stops government getting anything done? They don't believe government should do anything. So in some ways, he's perfect for the Tea Party. That's exactly what they want.
The Tea Party feasts on gridlock like zombies feast on brains.
Exactly. Mike in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Mom, I must confess, I overslept yesterday because it was my first day off, so I missed hour one of the show, and I didn't hear about the LA show on the 28th of July until hour two.
Yes.
Yeah. So by the time I got onto the Ticketmaster, I couldn't get a meet and greet. So I was wondering if you could come into the audience. I'll be in seat H111.
Let me write this down.
Maybe I should run for something. Anyway,
yeah,
if you
July
could come
28th. Let me write that down.
Group,
yeah, go ahead.
I would greatly appreciate it.
Of course.
It.
You know what? If you're in the first few rows, you're almost bound to get groped by me at some point.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Good.
Thanks.
Wow, awesome. Yikes. That's crazy. It was a one-day sales record. Dear God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would hurry if you want tickets to L.A. at the Pantages. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, Roland, our the Sexy Liberal Tour Director,
yeah,
who, as we have before mentioned, is a tad bit tightly wound.
Yeah, a little bit.
Picture him. It's just picture him like a really high-strung like terrier just perched on a computer all day.
Yeah.
Where's the, where's my old Pookie son? And then whenever I say something slightly wrong,
yeah,
he just, I get it immediately, right? The email or a text. Ah! This one, I just heard the guy on the phone last hour.
Yeah.
About the, he said the he said there were no VIP tickets left for L.A. already. Just
right.
Went on sale yesterday. Roland said there are some, I think 20 VIP tickets left. Yesterday, Ticketmaster was overwhelmed and I know seized up a few times between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. yesterday. We gave a box office seizures. Seized up. Yeah.
You'd just, think yeah. Ticketmaster, being such a big company and all, would be prepared
yes.
for seizures like that.
Roland said, and also, I just checked. I don't want people not to try. I got to look at the VIP section on Ticketmaster. All right.
Maybe there's a virtual
right,
pencil
Dino.
We could stick on its virtual tongue.
So yes.
So the box office will stop seizing
so,
up.
No, so it doesn't swallow its tongue.
All right, Dino, settle down. Okay. He does. He just, that's what he does all day.
Terrier.
He sits there checking live ticket counts and just.
And when he's not barking, he's just sitting there shaking.
Exactly. That's exactly what he's like. Oh, and no, my soulmate. Go figure.
Uh-huh.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberal kids, Fort Lauderdale, of course, just a few single tiny floaty seats. But you know what? It's such a group love experience. Just go. Or even go with a friend. You don't have to sit together because it's all a big, you know, a big cluster.
Yep.
Anyway.
Especially with as hot and sweaty as Fort Lauderdale. It's sultry.
Portland, we're very excited about our first show, 2012 in January. Philly in February. Phoenix in February. Chicago, March 3rd. Tickets going fast for all of these,
mm-hmm.
of course. Well, in some cases, they may already be gone. But good luck. I'm looking at a couple of these dates. All right.
Yeah.
We've got Madison, Minneapolis, Boston, and then we announced L.A. just yesterday. Tickets
mm-hmm.
going very quickly there. And then this one in September.
Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
Grunge may be done, but the 2012 elections are just firing up. And just in time, everyone's favorite Gen Xer, Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, right.
And her band of sexy liberal cohorts are coming back to you.
I get so horny when I'm in Seattle.
USA, I give Seattle and Tacoma much play.
On Saturday, September 29th, 2012, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will return to the Great Northwest. The Paramount Theater will host the most successful progressive comedy trio of our time. Featuring John Fugelson, Hal Sparks, and a favorite of Pike Place Market, Stephanie Miller.
Her brand of tuna was bent.
Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Paramount Theater. Seattle, Washington, this is your final chance before the 2012 election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
Thank you, Shano. By the by,
what?
I love these letters with the subject line in caps with lots of exclamation points. We got tickets. Like they won something. Tom and Dwight, Mama is the official gay gynecologist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Ding.
Wow.
Well, you know what? If you weren't gay, probably being a gyno would make you gay.
Is he a gynecologist for gay people, or is he a gay person?
No, he's a gay gynecologist.
Okay. All right. What?
I wonder if it made him, because seriously, another infection? Yikes.
It's like chocolatiers. The last thing they want to do is eat chocolate when they go home.
Hey, yikes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to report my partner and I will be front row in Seattle next September. I listened on my computer. I heard you say tickets that went on sale. I was heartbroken because I knew they'd be all gone by the time I got to the office and my computer. Then, happy day, Jim corrected you and said that that was the one I had the wrong time.
Oh.
And Roland went insane because I thought it was Eastern time and it was, it was 10 a.m. Pacific time. I got online right at 10, got two VIP tickets front row. Seattle loves our sexy liberals a bunch. Prepare for a deluge of love and Chardonnay, the gay gynecologist.
Yay!
He's a gynecologist.
A gynecologist.
Why would you want to spend that much time around something like that you hate, though? Seriously. Oh, God, I just confirmed it again. It was horrible. It was warts.
Wow, I'm even gayer than I was this morning.
Wow. What the hell was... Oh, you know, I met a gynecologist recently that, I swear to God, specializes in vaginal deformities.
Oh.
It is a really interesting party conversation.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah, and she tells stories that I'm just like, you know what? I don't need to know that. That sounds like balloon animal or something. I don't want to. What? Really? There's weird. I'm just saying, there's weird that happens when you have kids.
Hmm.
Apparently, stuff, you know, it can distend. It really, it is like a balloon animal party game.
Sort of inverse puppetry of the penis.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I you know, it's been described to me. Hmm.
Puppetry of the vajayjay?
Sexy liberal Aisha Tyler warned me away from this because, as I did not know, she said, you know, children come out of your vagina.
Yes. And you did not know that?
No. And that's why...
being gay and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why she's straight, and that's why she's not having them. Because of puppetry of the... Whatever.
Vajayjay.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberals, John Fugelsang is in New York covering a very important event for us.
Yeah. Sorry. I followed that, John.
Yes, I'm at the Gay Gynecologist Convention here in New York City. I'd like to point out I pretended to be a gay gynecologist in my entire late 20s, and it worked beautifully. Whoa, I've never felt this way before. Can I just say one thing, too? Let's go ahead and mock Roland for doing the work of 20 men while focused on our business. But deep down in places you don't talk about at gin-soaked cocktail parties,
right.
You want him on that internet. You need him on that internet.
On that sexy liberal wall.
Exactly.
Is he not? Is he not like a poodle on linoleum?
He is doing. He's like the 300 doing the work of 600.
That's
so,
right.
That's right. I love him.
Nothing but love. I did want to point. Can we just say one thing about the homophobe week? Because it was a great week for GOP candidate homophobia.
Yeah. Why not?
I know I'm supposed to talk about domestic violence, and that's hilarious. But I liked seeing Rick Perry's support of Rick Perry calling Dick Cheney's support of "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" Dick Cheney's war on religion. Because if he can call Obama's war on religion, Dick Cheney's to the left of Obama on marriage equality and "Don't Ask, Don't Tell."
Yeah.
Of course, it's
pretty desperate. You're kind of going, really? Are you still even in the race? Okay.
You know, Frank Luntz doesn't even counsel. Do gay hate anymore, and Rick Perry says doubling down on it, and he thinks that making soldiers serve beside gay soldiers might compromise their Christian beliefs while they're shooting people.
And he came out with, you know, after the Obama administration announced their overseas support of gay rights, you know, he released the nastiest statement. Did you see that?
No, which one was this?
Oh, Rick Perry. He just, American taxpayers don't want to, you know, finance this lifestyle overseas and blah, blah. It's like, what?
They don't want to expand the gay footprint by 9%.
Yeah, it's incredible. And having it come in the same week that, you know, we saw Michelle Bachmann with the 8-year-old child of the lesbian couple. I was on Joy Behar's show that night, and it was really amazing, and that's what they wanted to talk about. And doing the prep for it, seeing how it gave so much fuel to the haters. Glenn Beck's website exploded with people saying, well, here's the proof that lesbians are unfit parents. They coach this child and made him learn these lines and say all these things. And I'll grant you one point. When I want to see someone, you know, repeating lines they don't understand they've been coached to say, I'll watch Michelle Bachmann in a debate. But people were saying, oh, they're pushing this lesbian agenda, making this 8-year-old. He doesn't understand these issues. And I thought, you know what? You're right. You're right. An 8-year-old doesn't understand these issues because an 8-year-old hasn't been taught to hate gay people yet. He's too young to understand hate. But even worse, at the worst, I wouldn't have done what these parents did. Of course the kid was parroting lines he had learned. learned. He was shy. He was nervous. And so, yeah, what happened? A couple of lesbian parents did a tacky thing to protest an incredibly evil thing. Mm-hmm. I can live with that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sorry. The most telling thing was her reaction. I mean, she literally, like, lurched back like the kid had some kind of communicable disease that she might catch.
She might catch gay. Catch
exactly. And it's ironic because she practically lives with a gay guy.
I was just going to say, she might catch gay in her own bed.
Our breeding duty's done, dear. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Get off. Now, John Finkelstein, tell us what you're doing in New York today.
Of course. I'm proud to be here at Liz Claiborne's headquarters for It's Time to Talk Day, which is the eighth year in a row they've done this, and it's a day meant to promote national conversations on issues like domestic violence, sexual assault, and teen dating abuse, and what men and women can do to prevent them. And it's really very inspiring. We're talking to, like, you know, men who run organizations about how to prevent rape, to the editor of 17 Magazine, which is, I can't read 17 Magazine, because then I'm the pervert on the bus reading 17, so I had no idea how much, you know, I thought, oh, 17, you exist to sell cosmetics to young girls, but it's actually the opposite, and they do so much work to teach young women both how to look for warning signs that they're dating an abuser and how to help young women help their friends in abusive relationships. I think that it's never been harder for a man to get away with abusing a woman than it is now, and it's still way too easy, and the more we talk about it as a culture, the harder it will be down the road for douchebags of the future to abuse women.
And may I just say, you are doing the, as usual, Comedy Jesus, the Lord's work, because you look much better in Diane von Furstenberg, and I appreciate
I know.
The sacrifice you make for this show, John Fugel said.
I know, Siri. Well, actually, in fairness, wearing Liz Claiborne clothes got me out of the Navy once, so I'll always be grateful.
There's a men's line.
All right, Corporal Klinger.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've learned a lot. 44% of sexual assault victims are under the age of 18. Every 2 minutes, someone in the U.S. is sexually assaulted. One in four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. And 43% of dating college women report experiencing violence or abusive dating behavior. Now, you know, my grandmother was the victim of abuse in the 1920s, and she had to run away from home, and she was a daughter of a bootlegger, and her mother was killed in a still explosion, and she was horribly abused, had to run away, change her name, and before she died, she'd say to me, it was the 1920s, there was nowhere a girl could go, you couldn't talk about these things, and that's why I love doing events like this and helping out, because, like I said before, it's never been harder to get away with abusing a woman or a child, and it's only going to get harder and harder the more we as a species talk about this stuff.
Yep, absolutely. John Finkelstein, we will check back in with you in New York, and of course, we will see you in Fort Lauderdale for Sexy Liberal on Friday.
Thank you. I'll have non-preachy Gingrich jokes in the next hour. Appreciate
awesome.
It.
Thank you, John. All right, there he goes.
Great.
By the way, here's...
What?
Have you seen this is my new favorite thing on the interwebs? Here's a little clue. You might be dating the wrong person. If they write you a 1,600-word email after one day.
I saw this.
Oh, my God. You got to read this. I can't obviously read it.
No, it's huge, but it's hysterical.
Can I just say we all know someone like this?
Yes.
Yeah. Gawker has the horrifying post-date rant allegedly sent by an investment manager. It's another reason to hate the douche nozzles on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The entitled 1%.
A 1,600-word email asking why you haven't called them back after one date. You seriously have to read this thing. It is, it's literally, let's see, what's his name? The letter is apparently from an investment manager, Mike, who met Lauren at the New York Philharmonic. They had one horrific date, quote unquote, and Lauren didn't call Mike back. Mike, however, did contact Lauren with the letter reproduced below, and you have to...
Yeah.
Thing. Dear, hi, Lauren. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed that I haven't gotten a response to my voicemail and text messages. FYI, I suggest that you keep in mind that emails sound more impersonal, harsher, and are easier to misinterpret. It literally is like five pages of, I thought our first date went very well. I don't understand why you haven't called me back. I don't understand why you gave me mixed signals. Oh, it's just...
And why were you so quiet? Why didn't you say anything?
And you played with your hair. Literally, he said you played with your hair a lot. That is a sure sign that a woman is interested.
Yeah.
I know you must find me physically attractive, or you would not have got that. It would have been irrational to go on a date with me.
Wow.
Let's discuss...
That is the total mindset of the 1%. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he just cannot understand why this woman... Oh, it's hilarious. You have to read it. All right.
I'm going to talk you into loving me.
Oh, God.
Just... Come on, why aren't you responding? Why, huh?
Oh, boy. Some people's views that have been able to work out a lifetime of issues.
Yes.
Wow. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris knows from experience that I'm writing a forceful email when I when I clack on my keyboard. Like I'm using a word processor from the 70s. And furthermore, and I never harumph!
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
I've had to write a few of those lately. At least mine are short.
Yeah. Not 1,600 words or 16,000. What was it?
1,600
oh
words.
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious. All right. Well, we should post that or something. I don't know.
I'll post the link from Gawker up on your Facebook page.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, from Gawker. Mm-hmm. Okay. The 1,600-word rant from a guy that had one date with a girl and couldn't understand why he didn't get a second.
Yeah.
Crazy that.
Why? Why are you being so distant? Why, huh? Why
are you being so distant? Hmm? What are you thinking? Okay, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number.
And he was simultaneously asking why she didn't want another date and berating her, mercilessly.
You dumb bitch.
Why would you want another date with me, whore?
You gave me mixed signals, and I would like to know why. I would like you to call me. I think you owe me an apology.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am somewhat less interested in dating you, but I would give you another chance. And if you would call me, I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And yes, I am the only fish in the sea. You see any more fish? No, I'm the only one.
As if people could hate Wall Street people more. Wow. All right. Speaking of people that people hate, Newt Gingrich, the original douche nozzle. Mitt Romney talking about Mitt.
Speaker Gingrich has said that we ought to get rid of our child labor laws. That, I think, is a mistake. He's indicated that for people who've been here a certain length of time, we should let them stay in the country with a form of amnesty. I think that's a mistake. The list will go on and on as we get a clear indication of exactly where the speaker stands.
I can get a clear indication where you stand on something. Mm-hmm.
This whole race has just been a who can be meaner, right?
If you
look at their debates, let's boo, you know, gay soldiers, let's cheer executions, let's cheer uninsured people dying. Speaking of illegal immigration, after Michelle Bachmann proposed deporting every single one of the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country, a plan that would cost, by the way, $2.6 trillion for starters, very, very workable. Governor Perry vowed he, too, would deport every illegal alien who's apprehended in this country. Now, Michelle Bob, did you hear this? Did you see this piece on O'Reilly? Awful. She's upping the ante. Perhaps the most cruel anti-immigrant statement to date. In an interview with Bill O'Reilly, she dismissed the humanitarian crisis of mass deportations.
Oh, my God.
And reiterated her baseless fear-mongering about anchor babies. Oh, like Michelle Malkin?
Right. Yeah. Noted anchor baby.
Probably didn't mention her.
Mm-hmm.
Bachmann then expressed a can-do attitude when it came to O'Reilly's mock idea of dragging immigrants onto buses in front of their screaming children. I mean, you have to read this transcript.
Wow.
O'Reilly says there's a lot of people here for a lot of years. If you're going to start dragging them out of here, it's going to be very, very difficult to do that. I'm just saying on a human basis, I don't think theory... What kind of world does Bill O'Reilly look like a nice guy? I don't think that theory is one thing. Dragging people out, putting them on a bus with their children crying can be quite something else. Michelle Bachmann said, it can be done. That's the thing. It can be done.
I think we should put them on trains and send them to camps.
Oh, my God. Bachmann then cited the patently false claim that 50% of Mexico's population has moved north of the border.
What?
Apparently hoping people wouldn't do the math and realize that 56 million Mexicans have not, in fact, relocated to the U.S.
Did I say 50? I meant 90%.
She concluded by insisting, I'm a compassionate person.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like Mitt Romney said, I don't think I could possibly be a more consistent person. I don't.
How could I possibly?
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
If they say it, it must be true. Wow. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's beautiful, sexy, smart, independent. Sometimes when she laughs, she makes a little snorting noise. It's really cute. Kind of like
Charlie Sheen would know about snorting noises.
Yeah.
I come from a family of snorters.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. 34.
Including your brother?
Yes. My dad used to make silverware fly. It was a big one.
Wow.
Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. It's cute in a chick, though, right?
Yeah. That's endearing.
I let out a burp yesterday, and Hal Sparks said it made his eyes water. Yeah. Guys dig that. Okay. By the way, have I mentioned that not only did Sexy Liberal set a one-day box office record yesterday for one-day sales for the July 28th Sexy Liberal show. Check out what the fine Americans here in L.A. have done. Los Angeles City Council unanimously votes corporations are not people.
Yep.
Did you hear that, Mitt?
Yay.
Yeah. Thanks, Mitt.
Oh, they're people, my friend.
No.
I guess they are. The
corporations are people. Okay. By an 11-0 vote, the L.A. City Council approved a resolution declaring that corporations are not entitled to the same rights as people.
Good.
What a weird theory, especially in the context of money and politics. A packed chamber that included many Occupy L.A. members erupted into a standing ovation when the city's lawmakers showed that they understand the Constitution better than five members of the Supreme Court. One of the people behind that joins us now, Mary Beth Fielder from Move to Amend L.A. Good morning, Mary Beth.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You know what? People can say, oh, it's just L.A. and it's city council, but, you know, this could start a movement, right? Because if you look at polling, what is it, 70-something percent of the American people think this was a ridiculous decision, the Citizens United?
Yeah, actually, I think it's 80% at the last poll. And also, there have been three or four different ballot initiatives in smaller cities, Boulder, Missoula, Montana, Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And those passed by 75% or greater margins. So I think most of us out there get it, that human beings are human beings, and BP's, Chevron, Monsanto, I don't think they're human beings.
Well, unless you're Mitt Romney, and then you think, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, sorry, go ahead, but I was going to say, L.A., the first major city, obviously, to call for this constitutional amendment. What do you hope to achieve? I mean, do you hope this will start a movement across the country?
Well, absolutely. We're calling it the vote heard around the world. And in fact, I just watched a video that one of our members, a whole team of people actually, because it is LA, so it's very good quality, just posted on YouTube, which captures the drama.
Yeah. Everyone has like a movie style camera in LA.
Yeah, we actually scored a really good one. But anyway, go to our local website, movetoamendla.org, and you can see it. And it's just beautiful. And I've just felt so proud of all of us. We built an incredible coalition of people, all kinds of organizations, you know, Occupied, Labor, Common Cause, Credo, California Environmental Coalition of the State California Democratic Party, so many different groups, neighborhood councils, people working around the clock, all volunteers, all so passionate about this issue, and just coming together in the last 3 weeks especially to really rock it.
Well, Mary Beth, you know, that's one of the reasons I always say that elections matter, because, you know, the Supreme Court is really, really important. And for, I get called an Obama apologist all the time, but I'm like, you know, Citizens United is a perfect example of why, you know, you've got, you know, one of the front runners saying literally corporations are people. I mean, that, and as you say, you and I and 80% of us in this country are against this decision. And so I think it's elections matter, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, elections are the bedrock of our democracy. I think all of us really feel that that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our democracy and for the democratic ideal that our founding fathers fought for and died for. If they could do it then we can do it now. And I really feel that there's sort of a sleeping giant out there, and, they're starting to wake up. We're all starting to wake up. And as more of us wake up, we're just going to take back our power, because democracy means rule of the people. And I think, we all know that's not really what's happening today.
Unfortunately, we can't vote for members of the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah. Right, but that's why I was saying elections matter.
Exactly.
You know?
The president matters. He's the one who...
Because Mary Beth, I mean, let's talk about resolutions like this one could help. But I mean, Jim just made a good point that that's to me one of the most important things about getting Obama back in there. He will likely appoint another justice that could overturn this at the Supreme Court level, couldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if that would do it, but maybe just one more justice, you know, that didn't support that decision could overturn it. So that would be certainly an easier way in a lot of ways than the constitutional amendment. But the only great thing, well, not the only great thing, but one of the great things about an amendment is it would establish it from here on out, and so our grandchildren wouldn't have to worry about you know, this constant seesaw of power between the moneyed interests and the big, huge multinational corporations and the average guy.
Well, you know, so, as usual, Mary Beth, a lot of, you know, stuff coming from California. You know, California has always been a trendsetter, but marriage equality, another thing that, you know, obviously the whole Prop 8 battle that may end up at the Supreme Court as well, which I think is, you know, the civil rights battle in our generation. So, I mean, there's so many important legal things that I think, you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so I think this is a fabulous start, and we're really hoping that this is going to inspire, and I think it already has, other cities to feel empowered to start this process, you know, passing resolutions. Most powerful of all, of course, is through the ballot, because that way people are, you know, compelled to learn about the issue and take a stand. But some of the bigger cities, we might go for that next, but that's, you know, a much more huge undertaking when you've got, you know, so many millions of people.
Mary Beth, that's exactly, I mean, I think there is a theme, don't you? That's exactly what, you know, Sexy Liberal started in Madison, where the workers' rights movement, I mean, look at what's happened there. And, you know, the fact that Scott Walker is very likely to be recalled. Look at the Occupy movements. I mean, you know, I think you're absolutely right. It's about empowering people first and not making them feel like there's just nothing we can do about any of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's time to stop wringing our hands and rolling up our sleeves and taking back our power.
Yep.
And I also hope that I feel personally, this is my own little idealistic hope, maybe it's a big hope, is that the effort required to pass a constitutional amendment will actually lay the groundwork that we need for a true participatory democracy. And, you know, the people afterwards will continue to be much more actively engaged in the political process, especially when we begin to feel that our elected representatives really represent our interests, so their power derives from us, and
yep.
So it's not just that, you know, they manipulate us in the voting process every 2 or 4 years, and then they basically have to answer to their big donors.
Mm-hmm. Mary Beth, you're talking to a happy, clappy liberal whose favorite song is Imagine, so you can't be too idealistic for me.
Oh, good. Well, we have that in common.
What is the website again? Give us the website.
Yeah, the national website is movetoamend.org, and our local website in L.A. is movetoamendla.org. So all of our stuff that we're posting is, you know, about the things that are happening here after the vote, you can find more on our local. But movetoamend.org, sign the petition and get working in your communities, and there's support. They'll support you, help you, and I'll help you. So, you know,
terrific.
Contact me through mine, and we're all in this together, and, you know, we're gonna do it.
Mary Beth, thanks so much for taking time for us. Mary Beth Fielder, and check out the website. Thanks so much for such a great cause. Thanks so
much.
You're
welcome, Stephanie. I really appreciate it.
All right. There she goes.
And we have a link to that website up at your Facebook page, Stephanie.
Of course I do.
And
yes,
another bit of good news. Elizabeth Warren is leading Scott Brown 49-42%.
Woohoo! See? Elections matter.
That's right.
Ha-ha! All right. I have some good news, too. Newt Gingrich has taken a double-digit lead over his Republican rivals in 3 states.
Yeah.
Poll yesterday.
I cannot wait for those
debates. I'm the king,
debates.
Frankly. Let's just skip the election and just king me, anoint me right now, frankly.
It's an early Christmas present for us. Yes, it is.
We wish you a nominee, Newt. We wish you a nominee, Newt. We wish you a nominee, Newt. So we'll have a good year. A string of ex-wives wherever he goes. We wish you a nominee, Newt, so we'll have a good year. Oh, frothies and Toromy had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye to Colby, and I'll try to be president someday.
Another bit of good news.
Yes.
Newt Gingrich's half-sister voting for Obama.
Yeah. There's one. Yeah, this is not joking around. Quinnipiac, by margins of 18 to 27 points, he's pulled ahead of Romney in Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Wow. Who knew we could move that fast?
Ha! No! Frankly. which has caused me to come out with the look at my pretty shiny marriage.
I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
think you're going to find somebody who has more of those attributes than I do. I've been married to the same woman for 42 years. I've been in the same church my entire life. I worked at one company, Bain, for 25 years, and I left that to go off and help save the Olympic Games. If I'm president of the United States, I will be true to my family, to my faith, and to our country, and I will never apologize for the United States of America. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
And I will never change my mind on anything. Wait, on second thought.
I've been a model of consistency.
I think you'll find that I've been in, as consistent as human beings can be.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know if this will... Who cares? You had ethics back and forth with Gingrich and Romney. I don't know. Romney spent $100,000 in taxpayer money to conceal his digital records from
yeah.
his governorship.
Interesting.
He spent $100,000 in taxpayer funds to replace computers when he left office as part of an unprecedented effort to keep his records secret, Reuters reporting. Staffers deleted emails, purchased official hard drives, and otherwise obliterated digital records of Romney's...
I have nothing to hide, because I made it all disappear.
Sure. There you go. Poof. As the presidential candidate himself explained, these efforts were designed to, quote, prevent the opposition research team from accessing what should be public records. Now, according to Reuters, Romney used state funds to carry out this political activity. Unfortunately for Romney, the Massachusetts Secretary of State's office announced it will allow public access to hundreds of previously off-limit boxes of official records from the former governor's time in office. You know what I bet they are? I bet they're like love letters to himself, to his own, like, policies. Just, I heart my health care, especially the mandate. I heart gays. And a woman's right to choose. Doodle, 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 doodle.
Mrs. Mitt Romney.
All right, I'm just guessing what they are. They must be embarrassing to go to that much trouble to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. Do it! My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. Miles, my right-wing love muffin in Florida. Hi, Miles.
Hello, may I be the official dungeon master of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Hello now, yes.
Absolutely fantastic.
Have you ever been imprisoned by Boy George?
No.
Not that kind of dungeon.
Master, no. We fire magic missiles at the darkness, that kind of dungeon.
Sure.
Do you do LARPing? do you LARP?
What is that?
Live action role play.
No.
No?
No,
okay.
No, I don't LARP. No, okay. No, sorry. No. My wife and I got VIP tickets for the Fort Lauderdale show this Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Anniversary gifts to each other for our Halloween wedding. But the thing is, we are both very progressive, but we're registered Republicans because we like to screw with the polls. And
you're scamps. You're electoral scamps. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
But the thing is, I know you ask in your audience if there are any Republicans out there, so I want to know when you ask, do you want us to stand or should we, like, blow a cover and just remain hidden? Or how do you want to handle that?
You can do whatever you want. Likely we'll all be drunk anyway, so just do what feels right at the time.
Excellent. Right. And during the meet and grope, if I may ask, could I give up my groping and give it to my wife so she can receive a double groping?
Sure. That's very big of you. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Miles. See you Saturday.
Woo!
It's spring break at Christmas. Fort Lauderdale. Saturday. Big celebrity panelist guest. I'm still being teasy. I'm not telling you.
I don't think...
Listen, celebrities are skittery. You don't want to say it because you might scare them off. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think...
See, we didn't mention Aretha Franklin in Detroit, and she showed up, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
See? Lovely Tomlin, Rob Reiner here in L.A., they're precious.
I know.
They're like job creators. They're little glass figurines. They're very fragile.
I don't think Fort Lauderdale is the big spring break mecca that it was back in your day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my day's quite a while ago.
I know. I think they go to Panama City now.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that, seriously, that's the last time I was in Fort Lauderdale for my spring break in high school. Yikes.
I don't remember spring break being such a big deal when I was in college. I certainly never.
No, well, you went in high school, right?
I went to Aiden Bright, senior year in high school.
Yeah, see, we didn't do anything for spring break.
Well, in the olden days, you did.
Really?
Yep, you got in your Dodge Dart with your Jenny Cream Ale and bing. Okay.
Not in California.
No, not in Virginia either.
All right, mittens on the president.
He rushed to apologize for America. But he's hesitated to speak up for democracy and freedom.
Oh, please.
Huh? What?
Oh, please. I love Gawker's piece. Mitt Romney pledges his first trip as president to Israel. I will travel to Israel on my first foreign trip. I will reaffirm as a vital national interest Israel's existence as a Jewish state.
I will go Israel first. I'm going to Israel now, so I'll beat you there.
Hmm. Gawker saying, you hear this? Mittens the Menchie Mormon is paying the homeland a visit, yet American Jews are going it up stateside for the holidays. Literally, they're running on things the president has never said.
Right.
At this point. I don't. Okay. And Rick Perry now?
Oh.
Running against the gays.
Oh, yeah, this ad.
His floundering campaign attempting to build traction with Christian caucus goers in a new Iowa in an ad buy that attacks the gay community. Here it is.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. Mm. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
Really?
As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion. And I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again.
Also, I've gone to college to tilt at windmills.
And I approve this message. Mm-hmm.
Does he understand that there are gay people in the military that are also Christians?
I don't know.
Or does that not exist in his world?
The commercial echoes nasty comments he made in response to the Obama administration's plan to advance LGBT human rights around the world, which Perry called a war on traditional values.
Yeah, right.
What?
I'm going to decrease the gay footprint by 9%.
You know, he has taken
That's your favorite thing about Rick Perry. Yeah. That's of all the...
Just the weirdest thing of his, that weird...
See, and it's not the one you most people would pick.
Of a speech.
Yeah. But, yeah. The drunken speech.
Yes.
Yeah. I think my favorite is the... what would he say? It's been a great day, girl! Woo! He's calling some campaign woman. I don't know. It's been, awesome. I'm sorry. It's been an awesome day, girl. It's been an awesome day, girl. Oh, damn.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
He's drunk.
Gaming Drunkerson. Rick Perry on
his administration is clearly sending messages to people of faith and organizations of faith that we're not going to support you with federal dollars. I mean, that's one of the examples right there. And
right?
So I'm very comfortable. And with that ad, for one thing, my faith is part of me. The values that I learned in my Christian upbringing will affect my my governing.
Like killing innocent people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That,
I killed another one.
I'll just reiterate everything.
You don't need no trial. I know you're guilty. I can tell by looking at you.
Reiterate all the gay bashing that Jesus did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Jesus never... said anything about gays.
Why does Rick Perry hate the Ten Commandments?
I don't know. Because
it's Sharia law.
If the evangelical in Iowa is looking for someone who they know every day that the president's faith is going to guide them and the values, I ask people, say, you know, now, which one of those Ten Commandments do you not like?
Yeah, Rick, which one?
That's how I try to live my life.
Thou shalt not kill? Yeah. I'm going to skip over that one.
Yeah, you don't like thou shalt not kill.
Hmm. I stand by my original analysis. He is George Bush without the intellect or the humility. He's just...
And without the Yale education.
Yeah, I'd like a president with a brain.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Gawker says, Christmas warrior Rick Perry has a happy holiday skeleton in his closet.
Oh, God.
He's going to get caught in the war on Christmas crossfire. He's going to get some Bill O'Reilly shrapnel in the ace. He talked about kids not being able to celebrate Christmas. An American Bridge Pack points out, though, Governor Perry is a happy holiday hipster who took the Christ out of Christmas way before it was cool.
Wow.
Ooh.
His own path shows he was on the happy holidays team as recently as 2008, so now he's screwed. Mm. Okay, Charles in L.A. on Rick Perry real quick. Hey, Charles.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to do what Perry suggests and get out there and vote for him on November 12th.
Yes, I encourage that as well, but not unless you're at least 21.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Charles, you're making yourself giggle. Yeah. All right. So lots to get to. We're going to check back in with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in New York, covering a very important event for us and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Oh, or me, Stephanie. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, off to Fort Lauderdale for the big year-end blowout on Saturday. And then very excited about our first show up in January.
Rose City, get ready. Yeah. Because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon.
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is the
Oregon.
From Beaver Face Cherry.
Beaver Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Yeah, we... and somebody, let's see, wait a minute. Hey, John and Terry. Steph, my wife and I were at the Meet and Grow this past October in L.A. It was great. My face still hurts from laughing. Yikes. I want to have that checked, but I totally screwed up by bringing the wrong camera. That's one thing I found, Chris. Many people at Sexy Liberal shows more technologically impaired than I am.
Well, yeah.
And yet, may I just say, I would like to compliment my own patience, because I'm fine with that. I'm like, okay, let's try for the 20th time to get the picture in a fine. Because I understand. Because I sympathize. Because I don't know how to do it either. So I couldn't get a good shot of me groping your fine ass. You were so kind and patient. My wife and I totally screwed up a wonderful photo opportunity. But aha, now I will get a second chance because the missus and I will be front row center at the Pantages in July 2012. We bought our tickets this morning. That was yesterday. We just went on sale yesterday, set a one-day box office record, which is saying something for Sexy Liberal.
Yeah.
Because the last one sold out in like 2 or 3 days, I think. You know what they say, life is good when you have something to look forward to. We're still looking forward to seeing you, John, and Hal in this major L.A. venue in September 2012. This time I'm bringing the good camera. Oh, sure. This morning my wife texts and said I'm buying Sexy Liberal tickets now, getting great seats for the meet and grub so we can redeem from the October fiasco. This is from a woman who actually basically hates all talk radio but loves your show. Aw, even though the cane train is derailed, we can't see what sexy liberals will have to say in 2012. Heading into the presidential home stretch, it should frankly be fun.
That's right.
Yeah, oh, God knows by then. That's what I mean. Herman Cain may be back in by then.
Who can say?
He may be unsuspended by then.
I've made enough money to unsuspend my candidate.
That was apples back then. This is the oranges.
Oh, I forgot the oranges part. That was the apples.
This is the oranges campaign. All right, speaking of sexy liberal, John Fugelsang is in New York covering a very important event for us. Hello, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
Hi there, and thank you, Jim, for keeping the Herman Cain jokes alive. We have to keep it going. We have to keep the dream alive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the guy's, his career is a mess, his marriage is a mess, and the media is mocking him. 10 months ago, this was called winning. So,
so what's going on in New York this morning?
Well, I am here at the Liz Claiborne World Headquarters in Times Square for It's Time to Talk Day, which brings together people from the publishing field, law enforcement, government, and activism communities to help fight domestic abuse and raise awareness and prevent domestic abuse and teen violence. There's a lot of depressing statistics out there, but I'm of the humble belief that it's never been harder to get away with abusing a woman or a child than it is today, and it's because we're talking about it so much, and that's what this event's all about.
And there's some other hosts there. Who else is
Joy Brown came in. Of course, I'm not allowed to talk to Dr. Joy Brown because of our all-too-public torrid affair back
sure.
in the 80s.
Yeah, everyone remembers that. That was
who didn't have a torrid affair with Joy Brown
in the
80s?
I think she published your 1,600-word breakup letter on the Internet, as I recall.
Just
was
like her.
No,
that was Lionel who did that, actually, uh-huh. And that was a very confusing time for me. But so he's here as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Let's just say there's a reason he has a beard now. And and of course, Ellen Ratner's here, and Mark Riley, one of my favorite New York radio personalities, was here a few minutes ago.
Awesome.
And so it's all day, and what this thing is, it's like this big conference room, and there's a dozen different tables set up, and every radio show in the tri-state area comes here and broadcasts for the day. And along the way, we talk to government officials and cops and judges and activists and authors who are all doing very different things to prevent domestic violence, especially great groups like Men Can Stop Rape and the Man Up campaign, because I believe that there's a word for men who abuse women, and it's not men. So it's a lot of great people here doing the Lord's work.
You know why? And that's why you're a sexy liberal. And the Lord's work, you are my personal comedy Jesus, as you know.
Yeah, just remember, you should never beat a woman or emotionally abuse a woman. But if you divorce two wives while they're sick, you can be the GOP frontrunner.
There you go.
Keep
There's
that in
a difference.
Mind.
Thank you, personal comedy Jesus.
Now, I should point out, Troy Conrad is the comedy Jesus. I'm the comedy heretic. And speaking of nude, I just want to say I love the nude jokes because I love seeing America's least likable man entering our biggest popularity contest.
Yeah,
but do you find it funny stuff that the same people who called Obama arrogant are now supporting Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, I know. And I was saying it's going to be like a flashback if he's the nominee to the Kennedy-Nixon debates, isn't it? There will be the president, young, handsome. Mm-hmm. Telegenic, yeah. And then it's just a fat, sweaty, angry man.
I heard last night that in Florida, Newt is polling at 48% and Romney's only at 25%.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, Santa Claus, you shouldn't have.
You really, it's too much.
Jim, what did you say about Newt earlier, that he should be on the side of a church?
Oh, yeah. Newt Gingrich should be on the side of a cathedral vomiting rain.
Yes. That's our personal feeling.
I think that's the best line of the morning.
And John,
I love it.
One of our listeners obviously just wrote about, like,
it's
what do you guys...
It's a gargoyle is what I'm saying.
Yes, you see.
Yes. Mm. What are the sexy liberals going to be talking about in 2012? And Hal and I were saying yesterday, now we can just dust off our old Gingrich material. We don't even have to write anything new.
Exhume it from the crypt. The best thing's going to be
we have to find our Gingrich who stole Christmas. We have it from our
old CD.
I know.
Is it on the CD?
Yeah.
I can't wait till it's down to just Newt Gingrich. When we finally get down to the point where it's just Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, and Newt Gingrich left in the campaign, because when those three guys are on stage together, they look like the number 110. So that'll be fun. And Santorum is just hoping he gets a shot at being Flavor of the Week, of course. If Newt flames out, it could still happen, because I wrote a script about Santorum called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Compares Consenting Adults to Sex Criminals. So watch for that.
It's Frothy, the snowman. Okay. Anyway, but that's the event you're covering for us, and the stuff you talk about in Sexy Liberal. That's why I love you, John Fiegel. Where's my love music? That's why I love you, and that's why you're a sexy liberal. And listen, when I see you in Fort Lauderdale, I want you to run toward me in slow motion on the beach, if you wouldn't mind. Fantasy I've had for quite some time.
I'd love to run to you in slow motion on the beach. I'll be the pasties pale guy that is catching on fire.
I would like a Speedo. No, I would like a Speedo, and I would like a slow motion run toward me on the beach.
Well, I covered this event for your show last year, Steph, and for me, I'm someone whose grandmother grew up in the Deep South, and her father was a bootlegger, and her mother was killed in a still explosion. It's a true Prohibition story.
Wow.
And my mother...
That would have been me.
Yeah, well, my grandmother was terribly abused, and she kept trying to run away, and they kept finding her, and finally she had to run away and change her name. And they never found her. And I later said to her, why? And she said, you don't understand. This was the 1920s. There was no place for a girl to go.
Yeah. You said earlier, you couldn't even talk about it.
Can't even talk about it. I'm just really proud of the fact that I live in a society where we are talking about things that weren't talked about when I was a kid. We didn't talk about sexual abuse of children when we were kids. You know, every time this stuff happens, as tragic as Penn State is, the more you talk about it, the harder harder it's going to be for some predator to abuse a child in the future. And the more we talk about the reality of domestic violence, that women do have options, that it happens to men as well, mm-hmm. and that young teenage girls should not stay with boyfriends who treat them like their property, and that's not love, the more we talk about it, the harder it's going to be for weak-minded men to get away with this kind of behavior.
Yeah, well, and you were talking about, you were making the analogy about Chris Brown, that a lot of these teenage girls defend him and, you know, and may not realize the reality of that kind of thing yet.
Yeah, they really do. And I think Chris Brown deserves to be in prison just for using auto-tune while lip-syncing.
Sure, but, yeah.
You know,
well,
I'm a big believer in forgiveness as well. I don't think you should ever judge anyone based on the worst thing they ever did in their life. And, right. and I have compassion for men who are abusive. I think that that's a symptom of their own pain and sickness and right. that, you know, any man can be redeemed. We know that. Look, John Lennon beat his first wife. Rest in peace. You know, it's like any man or woman can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, you know, this event here today isn't just about looking for the warning signs and trying to help victims. It's about preventing it. And the more we talk about it and the more boys are raised to learn what makes a real man and what doesn't, the better it's going to be and the more decent a society we're going to be. And this event is cool because it brings together business and government and activists all working together, which is the sort of thing that turns me on.
All right.
It needs to be said also that there's some women who abuse men, but it goes almost unreported because obviously it's a
pride. Exactly.
Pride.
Yeah. Well, it also costs more, Jim, but yeah.
Well, there's that.
Oh, that's my own personal fetish
God.
Habit, but yeah. So, yeah, but it is true.
And by the way, Yoko sang, so that was her way
of getting
abusing.
Back, John. Yeah.
It goes both ways. Now, John Fugel sang, I will see you on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, and don't forget the Speedo. I want to see what religion you are, comedy.
It's going to be a swinging hot show.
Yeah.
If you folks down there in Florida with Governor Skeletor haven't bought your tickets yet for Saturday night, y'all are a bunch of damn fools. Come on down. I'm going to be telling the story of how I met Rick Scott backstage at Fox News at the Villages.
Oh,
so,
zoinks. Oh,
yeah, I'll be
zoinks.
Having a very special tribute to your lovely governor. Governor,
yeah.
Who's still trying to kill Harry Potter. It's very sad.
Yikes. All right. John Fugel saying, see you Saturday in Fort Lauderdale.
Safe travels, Steph.
All right,
Chris and Jill,
John.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You got it.
All right. Nancy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nance.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I would like to be the official retired Madison teacher with a hip 80-year-old mother of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
All right, then.
I got to tell you, my mother called me this morning, and she told me that Scotty Miller has been sending, and his corporation has been sending these envelopes asking for money, asking for funds. And the first time she got the letter, she sent him back a nasty letter in a postage paid envelope, no less.
Wow.
So I don't know if the government's paying for this or what. She's wondering about that.
Wow.
Well, she didn't expect anything, but she got another one yesterday. So she was so incensed that she called me today, this morning, and said, what do I do, Nancy? What do I do? And I want to send the recall people money. And I said, okay, send a donation to United Wisconsin. And she wanted the address. So I looked it up online, and she's sending them $25.
Oh, wow.
Oh, awesome.
Mother.
Oh, awesome. Good for
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
yeah. All right, honey. Thanks for that story.
Sure.
All right, honey. Nancy and Madison. All right. Yeah, my mom still does only that. Well, because she doesn't have a computer. She's 88. It's always the handwritten letters.
Yes.
Yeah. She in the ones like the one she wrote to George W. Bush about how he was the greatest president ever. Did I mention it was very long, and she had to read it to me in its entirety on the phone?
Oh, God. Does she still feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Have you discussed?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. 18 minutes to the hour.
Okay, then.
I'll have to ask her who her favorite in the Republican field is.
Oh,
that'll be instructive.
I shudder.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
The radio, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Steph, Katie in Chicago writes, I can't explain it. You're happy clapping. This really does rub off, and I'm grateful for it. You're welcome. P.S., where can I get a Fox News masturbating bird for my own Republican mother? It's almost Christmas. She's terribly hard to buy for. I'll ask my mom where you get a...
a right-wing masturbating Lufford parrot named Keith or something, whatever.
What's his name again? I've blanked it out.
Adolf?
No. A pretty boy.
Pretty boy.
Mm-hmm. Ah? Why did I remember that? Oh, my God.
Mm. Okay.
Pretty boy? Who's a pretty boy? Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. You mean pretty? You mean covered in... All right, covering his own. Okay. Hi, Steph. I live in Orlando. Listen to me every day on the interwebs. We used to have a station there, but we don't now because, you know, there's no market for a...
Progressive.
Except you're going to the sold-out show in Fort Lauderdale Saturday. I wish we had liberal stations here. All right. Please come to Orlando. All right. Get your ass in the car and drive from Orlando. It's not that far. Fort Lauderdale, let's go. Road trip, road trip.
It's kind of far. Far-ish.
No.
Although Rick Scott gave up the money for the high-speed rail, so that makes it even farther, you see.
Ah,
because,
exactly. Thank you, Skeletor.
Uh-huh.
By the way, so I will be flying with my girlfriend who's addicted to Words with Friends. You know, the thing that Alec Baldwin just got thrown off the plane for. Words with Friends.
That you can't play
iPad
on the plane.
No.
It's going to end badly.
Gawker says, nerds bravely fight for iPad airplane rights. Gadget nerds are done turning off their iPads, iPhones, Kindles, and Blackberries on airplanes. Allow airline passengers to lose electronic devices in airplane mode during takeoff and landing demands a new petition on WhiteHouse.gov, which has garnered 254 signatures since going online. The petition follows a New York Times column and follow-up blog post about how there's no genuine safety reasons for the FAA's prohibition against activating digital... I've always wondered
that.
Unless
you're flying in bad weather.
I've always wondered that, because we've all done it, and the plane hasn't crashed.
It's just the government's way of making you compliant.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I mean, in bad weather, I mean, if you need navigation devices when you're not operating under visual flight rules.
Because
operating a GPS up there, but you should be able to operate your phone in airplane mode.
You would think.
What does airplane mode mean?
That turns off all the signals that go out.
It means wings pop out of your phone.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I've never tried it. I've forgotten to turn it off by accident, and then I'm like, I'm still alive.
I'm not sure I know how to turn off my iPhone.
Oh, you go into the settings and you turn airplane mode. There's
right.
a switch.
Speaking of terrifying news, smoking can make your nipples fall off.
What? Excuse me?
Well, I just think,
you
know.
Well, you smoke with your nipples, yeah.
Yes.
But who does that?
That takes a special talent.
Gawker writing, Dr. Anthony Yeun in his latest CNN column, smoking can make your nipples fall off.
Probably Yoon.
Yoon?
Name.
Yoon. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. He writes, I cringe every time I see a patient for a breast lift who is a smoker. I'm deathly afraid that despite my warning, she will smoke before or after surgery and cause her nipples to turn black and fall.
Oh. Wow.
Excuse me.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Yes. Smokers who undergo breast lift are at great risk of losing their nipples, according... The only way to... Those are big.
They're big nipples.
Those are silver dollars, my friend. Those aren't for amateurs.
That's it. Seen a little Brigida nipples right there. That's wow.
Okay, this story gets worse. He recalls the time a smoking patient's nipples turned purple, which is the precursor to black. It's black nipples are the new...
Purple. Purple nipples.
Purple's the new black.
Black.
Oh, God, it's the precursor to black. Black is the precursor to falling off. The only way to save this patient's nipples was to attach leeches to her nipples.
Oh, yes. God!
Well,
no.
You know,
who hasn't done that
before? I do not like sucking that hard. There is a certain degree of sucking that is too hard. Leeches, no.
Computer says no.
Okay. Whew! Gawker writing, quit smoking, you undead nipple monster. Dr. Anthony Yoon is sick of picking up your discarded blackened nipples. Who do you think he is, your personal nipple maid?
Oh,
blackened nipples.
Oh, boy. Gawker's my new addiction.
Cajun cooking.
Their other headline, women be kicking ass at going to college. Gawker writes, boys or girls, which do you think is better at going to college? If you said boys... Off, you stupid idiot. No wonder you never went to college. The new study says that there's not only the rich-poor gap in college attendance widening, so is the male-female gap.
Hmm.
Ladies win everything. The female advantage is present across the racial groups as well, according to the data.
Girls rule, boys drool.
Yeah. I'm just doing that story before tomorrow's Boys Clubhouse show.
Yeah.
Where you and Jim will be filling in for me. John Fugel saying, of course, will be live from New York.
And we're
all
pulling up the ladder.
College.
Yes.
Ugh.
And we're pulling up the ladder. No girls in.
No girls allowed.
Uh-uh.
Setbacks.
Well, Rebecca can come in.
Funky boy smell in here.
Uh-huh. Ugh. It's going to smell like testosterone and sweat.
I'm having Rebecca come in with some kind of fire hose and just clear it out before I get back on Monday. All right, and the final Gawker headline, Dip robs Walmart on Shop with a Cop Day. It's the dumb crook stack, yep.
Yeah.
Timothy Randall Clark, who chose to shoplift the Maryland Walmart during their annual Shop with a Cop Day.
Oh, boy.
He had on his person 26 PlayStation and Xbox games, two controllers, and various other video game accessories tucked inside his pants and sweatshirt. That has to be a hefty fella. How do you get 26 Xboxes in your pants? A
lot of pockets.
Is that 26 Xboxes in your pants?
Cargo pants.
You happy to see me. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Paul Tonko next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
First, we're visiting
Stephanie Miller.
No fair, we just went to church.
Yeah, so we've already heard stories from thousands of years ago about stuff that didn't happen.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president yesterday on the payroll tax cut. President Obama yesterday.
If the payroll tax cut is attached to a whole bunch of extraneous issues. It's not something that I'm going to accept.
Aha. All right, let's talk to our good friend, Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York, about that. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you? It's always a pleasure to join you.
You too. So take us through this latest battle. It's we finally met a tax cut the Republicans don't want for some reason, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that Grover Norquist has everybody pledging not to increase taxes, and that seems to apply only to corporations, to large business, deep pockets, millionaires, billionaires, and, you know, look, you want to give middle-class America a tax cut, and they have no problem with the taxes rising again. And this is a major benefit. $1,500 in the pockets of middle-class American families is an important situation. I think it's a tax holiday that can't afford to end in this given period of the economy. And so we need to go forward and, I think, accomplish the extender, which will help with the recovery in the economy and enable people to have money in the pocket. You know, this is important. Money in the pocket for middle class is a critical need right now.
Absolutely. Let me get your take on Speaker Boehner having this to say yesterday.
The concern about the payroll tax cut is that we're taking money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. We have a trust fund that we all know is going broke.
This is the party that wanted to privatize Social Security and essentially destroy it. I see.
They're the champions of Social Security when they've been trying to end it and voucher out Medicare and a number of things and deny any kind of Medicaid assistance for people. But, you know, their true colors will show here because people remember what they stood for there. This is not a draining of the Social Security Trust Fund. The president has made this scenario far different than that of President Bush when he did his tax cuts. He said, I have a pay for here. And the pay for is the surcharge on income earned by millionaires and billionaires over and above $1 million. And so, you know, it's amazing, Stephanie. When I go back to my district, which is every weekend or for the entire district work period, people are now catching on with the entire Occupy movement. Mm-hmm. There's finally print in the media and talk on the radios about the unfairness, social and economic injustice to America's working families, her middle class. And now people get it. They're saying, look, I thought the surcharge was on all the income. It's on anything over $1 million. So if you earned $1.2 million, you're paying a surcharge on $200,000. Right. And people are saying, well, wait a minute. When I looked at the line graph out there, their salaries rose exponentially. Their growth from 79 has been 275%. And America's middle class has been flatlined and now is dipping south. So people aren't aren't taken kindly to the defense here of millionaires and billionaires. They know it's their turn as a middle class,
right,
and it's their shot at economic justice.
Well, and I think this particular fight, it has crystallized that more than anything, the difference between the we are the 99%. I thought this was a telling story. John McCain said yesterday on the floor, most of all, he said, we need to come to agreement on things like repatriation of the $1.5 trillion that's sitting overseas. We could give them a lower tax rate, a much lower tax rate, and bring that money home and create jobs. He's talking about a tax break from multinational corporations,
right,
instead of doing the tax break for the middle class. And
that seems to be their guiding force, doesn't it? It's just
right.
To the powerful, and we learned painfully that it doesn't work. When you gave tax cut to millionaires and billionaires, maybe the money found itself to Switzerland, but it didn't find it to the middle-class household.
I was just going to say, historically, I mean, these repatriation holidays have offered little evidence of new investments. The companies that took advantage of the holiday ended up cutting tens of thousands of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, for instance, corporations used 92% of their repatriated profits to enrich their executives and buy back their shares, not to invest in job creation. Sacrificing the payroll tax cut for such a policy, it only compounds the negative consequences a lot of, you know, economic experts are pointing out. I mean, this is, you know, it's like Mitt Romney saying he was a job creator. His job at Bain was hollowing out companies and shipping jobs overseas.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, this payroll tax holiday extension affects employees and employers if we do it correctly. And so this talk about job creators being in the realm of millionaires and billionaires, how about the stay-home mom that decided I'm going to open a child care center in the house? That's a small business. Mm-hmm. That's a job creator. What about the entrepreneur who is starting up with some idea that she or he has that's great, that can be a profound new addition to product delivery in our manufacturing sector? That's a small business startup. That's a job creator. You know, what is this whole idea where, you know, we lost 8.2 million jobs when we gave the upper echelon their tax cut, and 8.2 million jobs brought America's economy to our knees? So, you know, it's I think the evidence is out there that we need to empower the middle class. And let me just give you and your listeners the latest news. We're, of course, ahead of schedule here, like with the time schedule. We're like going on 12 noon. And mm-hmm. So the United States Senate has already been in session here on the East Coast. They voted down the president's nominee for heading a watchdog opportunity with the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. And it's part of the Dodd-Frank legislation. It's a outcome to create this watchdog agency that will prevent the sort of reoccurrence of painful economic consequence for America's working families and small business. We needed a watchdog. We needed a boldness there.
Yep.
They voted that down, and their statements weren't anything about being upset with the individual nominated. They don't like the concept of the agency having watchdog responsibilities.
Yep. I am very heartened by, we were just reporting this morning that Elizabeth Warren has pulled like 7 points ahead of Scott Brown in Massachusetts.
And you know, I live very close to the Massachusetts border,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a stone's throw away from that United States Senate seat. And I'm watching that, and it's all about messaging to the middle class.
Yep.
Middle class America said, hey, we've had it with this recalcitrance coming from these leaders in Washington who absolutely refuse to listen to middle class America.
Absolutely.
But before that, they'll listen to Grover Norquist.
The only thing
people are saying, Grover, it's over.
Yep, exactly. The only thing I'm scared about is the strength of the Republican presidential field. Ha ha, tee hee. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's rocking, you know.
Yeah, I'll say. Representative Paul Tonko, always a pleasure. The great state of New York. Talk again soon.
Mine also. And great to join you and your listeners.
Thank you, Paul. There we go. Oh, finally, a pilot that can explain turning our gadgets
off.
Oh,
okay,
hello,
good.
Dave. Dave in California.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, there's two reasons why you can't use a phone on an airplane.
Okay.
The first, Jim got his part right.
Thank you.
Back in the old days, a cell phone could interfere with unshielded instruments.
Oh.
The thing is, all the instruments on modern airplanes are shielded these days.
Uh-huh.
So why do we have to turn our phones off?
The second reason is with cell cloggage. Okay, if you've got 750,000 people in the air at any one moment in the United States, that's an opportunity. If half of them are using cell phones, each one of those phones is probably reaching two dozen cell towers.
Oh. Okay.
And so what you're doing is you're clogging up the cell networks, and I think that's the real reason why the to no longer use, they're still restricting cell usage on airplanes.
Oh. How come you can use, there's wireless on some flights now? How come that's okay?
Well, that's their own private system. It's set up in such a way that it only uses one network at a time, I believe. Well, I'm not an expert on that kind of thing.
All right. All right. Well, Dave, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm not an expert on that kind of thing.
All right, but thank you for the cell phone, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get all defiant on you. It was my ex-Catholic schoolgirl thing kicking in. You're not the boss of me, Sister Dorothy.
There's no real reason for it anymore.
All right. All right, Dave, thank you. All right, I'm not doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Flying to Miami tomorrow. I'm not doing it. And I'm going to say a guy called my show and he's a pilot. He said you're full of...
Follow Stephanie Miller's advice and turn on your cell phone on airplanes.
I'm gonna
because a guy called in saying it's okay.
I'm gonna throw that out on the plane tomorrow. No! All the instruments are shielded today, so there's no reason to get shit. Where the hell am I going to get mo?
No, they'd haul you out like Alec Baldwin. Seriously. Because you're a thoughtless little pig!
I'll be a rude, thoughtless little pig on my flight.
Apparently, Alec Baldwin was being a little bit
funny. You should mention that. Good tease. We'll be doing that in Celebrity Stack.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
All right. In the meantime, well, that douche nozzle Rick Santorum.
Oh.
Have you seen this one? He criticized Obama for not keeping the Bin Laden killing to himself. Much like George Bush would have, of course.
Wow.
There would have been like a Macy's parade for George Bush if he had, there would have been balloons.
Did you see the Macy's parade for George Bush when Saddam Hussein was captured?
Yes. Please.
He didn't keep that to himself, Santorum.
Is that all you got, Frothy the Santorum? I mean, seriously. President Obama showed his weakness after the killing of Osama bin Laden by letting news of the operation leak to the public, Rick Santorum told a group of Republican Jewish voters. He said the president's not able to keep a secret for more than 24 hours. Because what? Why wouldn't? Huh?
How is that not news?
Oh, so, yes.
That
how Laden's would that not
killed?
Leak out?
Yeah.
You are an idiot.
He should have just shut up, and then no one would have known about it.
Well, boy, here's some surprising news. The GOP primary is hurting the public opinion of Republicans.
Oh.
What?
Let's have more debates.
A new poll, please.
Yeah. Oh, God.
A new poll from the Pew Research Center shows the Republican primary has helped drag down public opinion of GOPers. Of those surveyed, 31% said their views of the candidates are getting progressively worse. But wait, there's more, including 29% of independents. Once the nomination is settled, Obama's numbers will likely go up, pollsters are saying, when he can frame his reelection in terms of a specific opponent with defined issue stances.
Really? This guy? You're going to vote for this guy?
Really? That's all it has to be.
That's all they got?
Obama, 2012. Really?
Seriously? This guy?
No. That guy?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, speaking of debates,
yes.
Michelle Bachmann has publicly stated that she's not sure if she's going to be at the Trump debate. Because she's concerned about potential bias, and she's thinking about an independent run.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
Rock on, you crazy biatch. Get it. Get it.
And then Marcus can be first lady.
Oh.
I bet you Marcus is encouraging that.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving her, like, the...
You go, girl.
That's right.
That'll be super.
Listen, you don't need... They're dragging you down all these steps.
Go independent.
You're
your own woman.
You're going to come out on roller skates like Olivia Newton-John and Xanadu, and it's... Woo! We're going to shake it up. All right, 47... I don't know that for sure. It's probably not a verbatim conversation.
No.
I just got the gist of it, I think.
I don't think you're too far from
the
truth.
By the way, Mike in Austin says, Steph, let me get this straight. Herman Cain suspends his campaign before the Donald Trump debate. Wasn't one of the challenges in Last Celebrity Apprentice selling pizza?
Yeah.
Talk about bad timing. He can't sell that crap. Godfathers?
I just think I'm going to bust.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What, are you leaving practice for us tomorrow?
Yes! Go, do! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. How hilarious is this from Gawker? Rich Republicans still trying to field a half-decent presidential candidate. Think about it a little more. Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich? Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich? It wasn't the best year for recruiters of Republican presidential candidates. And now the deadline is passed in most early states to get on the primary ballot. There's no chance for anyone else to jump in unless the incompetent rich Republican donors pull some strings or whatever it is the rich do in emergencies.
Yeah.
Via red state, efforts are underway by some wealthy Republican donors and a group of conservative leaders to investigate whether a new Republican candidate can still get in.
Yeah.
It's not too late. The chatter about new entrants include Rudy Giuliani, Mitch Daniels, Donald Trump, Senator Paul Ryan, the budget monster, or South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint. Those are fresh new ideas.
Maybe we should just get the Madame Tussauds wax figurine of Reagan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Try that. Siri's an anti-choice whack. Try that.
Yeah.
All right. wow. Rod Blagojevich sentenced yesterday to 14 years in prison.
Yeah. That seems excessive.
Really?
Well, I didn't know exactly what he did.
Well, because he lied, like, repeatedly on the stand, first of all, and, you know, through two trials. And then he finally yesterday said, I'm sorry.
But I think people who killed a guy get less time than that.
They need a whole governor's wing, don't they, in prison in Illinois?
In
the
Illinois?
Last Republican governor's in prison, too,
yeah,
isn't he?
They have bad luck with governors there.
Yes.
And politicians in general.
Yeah, I would not want that job.
No.
This is the time for me to be strong for my children, be strong for Patty, and this is also a time for Patty and me to get home so we can explain to our kids, our babies, Amy and Annie, what happened, what all this means, and where we're going from here. So we're going to keep fighting on through this adversity.
And that Daddy would be exchanging cigarettes for his life there in the big house.
Well, he wouldn't be having to explain this to his babies if he didn't try to sell the Senate seat.
Mm.
Did Patty say, and I'm sorry about saying about holding up that Cubs dairy. All right. That's all I remember is that she's a gal after my own heart. She's got a bit of a potty mouth.
Yes, she's a,
Mm-hmm.
A longshoreman.
Yes. Much like myself, exactly. All right, yeah, here's the story. American Airlines has issued a statement about Alec Baldwin's behavior on his flight at LAX, which resulted in the star being removed from the plane. He's addicted to words with friends.
Mr. Baldwin is a rude, thoughtless little pig.
You know what, though? When the flight attendant says, turn off your electronics,
I talk a big game on the radio. Yeah, by the way, everybody went insane, told me not to get thrown off the flight that I can't be in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, my flight attendant friend said, no, don't blame the flight attendant.
Listen, you know me, I just talk about it, but I turn into like a little obedient Catholic girl on flights. I don't ever say anything to anyone. I'm just sorry. American Airlines.
Yeah, you're not defiant at all.
No, I'm not.
But if you encourage other people to be rebels, then a lot of flights are going to get delayed as they.
I know. No, that's that's the thing I hate the most is when someone. I had that happen on one flight.
Heading back to the terminal because zipping the pinhead back here.
Oh, these
can't listen to instructions.
Wouldn't like they kept trying to jam their bag in the overhead. No, with the plane was delayed like an hour. I was like, everyone, you could feel everyone hating them. Like, oh,
yeah, their hate rays just going straight for them.
Stop it, and you want to.
It's going down in the cargo hold. No, I am not waiting for my luggage when I get to the airport.
Well, listen, right. In LAX, we understand that because it takes longer to get your bag than the flight. It doesn't matter. If you came from New Zealand, it takes longer to get your bag than the flight did.
Yeah, absolutely.
This passenger declined to turn off his cell phone. When asked to do so at the appropriate time, the passenger ultimately stood up. With the seatbelt lit for departure. Oh, that's, And took his phone into the plane's lavatory. He slammed the lavatory door so hard the cockpit crew heard it and became alarmed. Even with the door closed and locked, he immediately contacted the cabin crew to check on the situation. The passenger was extremely rude, as you said, Jim. A rude, apparently.
Thoughtless little pig. Yeah.
I love Alec Baldwin. I love his politics, love his acting. The passenger was extremely rude, calling him inappropriate names and offensive language. Given the facts above, the passenger was removed.
He probably shouldn't have done that.
I wasn't there. Anyway, this is okay. Now, you know what? As you know, I'm competing against Lady Gaga. Don't laugh at me. Stop laughing at me. I will crush her. For best tour. Sexy Liberal Tour is up for best tour. The Fancy Touring Awards. The Polestar Touring
Awards. How many
Awards.
Costume changes do you have in your show?
Listen, I'm going to put some in Saturday night. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm going to get a headdress. I'm going to find an egg to enter in.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Lady Gaga makes White House visit. You know that was about trying to undermine me.
But you know what?
Rebecca, get me a meeting at the White House.
But you know what? She snuck in. There was no paparazzi. She didn't want to make a big deal out of it. All she wanted to do was get her message across about bullying.
How did she sneak in?
Was that her cover story? And it wasn't about beating
Stephanie Miller
for the Polestar Touring Award?
She got to meet President Obama, and you didn't.
No, she didn't. She didn't get to meet him.
Oh, okay.
She did see him recently at a fundraiser in California. Obama said of Gaga, she was wearing 16-inch heels. She was 8 feet tall. It was a little intimidating.
President Obama was intimidated by Lady Gaga?
I got to get some 8-foot heels.
8-foot
heels. And Adele. I'm also up against Adele for Best New Tour, so I got to take her
just
out as well.
Just punch her in the throat, and you'll be fine.
I got to get a rider on my sexy list. Adele's tour demands revealed no North American beer.
South American beer is fine.
Good quality European beer. Why? I have no rider for sexy. I got to start making some demands here.
Yeah, I was backstage in your dressing room. There's nothing in there.
Now I don't have time for this, but I'm gonna. I'll tell you Adele's rider when I'm back because it's extensive.
Or maybe we'll read it tomorrow.
Maybe
no
you will.
Green bloody M&M.
We need content for tomorrow. We will read that story.
Oh, tune in for the mess that's gonna be. Chris and Jim hosting, John Fugelsang guesting from
New
York.
What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know.
Let's go Fight Club.
I don't know.
The boys show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'll see you in Fort Lauderdale Saturday for Sexy Liberal, and we'll see you Monday again for the Stephanie Miller Show.